Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. I'm just so grateful for this holy moment that we can join with the Willis family in great celebration. For Lord, we remember our baptism, and we are grateful. Grateful for that moment where we initiated and you brought forth, O Lord, that moment of your Spirit's leading. So Lord, bless us now as we remember our baptism and as we celebrate Tara and Trey's baptism. And as we get ready to hear your word, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts truly be pleasing and acceptable unto you. For this we pray in the precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen. So it was a Monday morning in February. The snow was falling as I worked from my church in Butler, Pennsylvania. We lived in the snow belt, and this was typical of winter weather. And I remember getting the phone call. My administrative assistant, Karen, buzzed me, and she said, "Pastor Jeff, you have a phone call." And I answered the phone, and it was the chair of the annual conference worship planning committee. And we chatted for this moment, for a moment, and the chairperson then began to say, "Jeff, the bishop would like for you to be a preacher at annual conference this year." My first reaction, my heart sank. What do I say? Do I just go up there and speak in front of all those people? You want me to preach in front of the annual conference? But what does one say to the bishop? You never say no. So I said yes. And I was thinking to myself, there's no worries about that. I got 5 months to prepare. You know what happens in those 5 months? Time just keeps on going by. And those 5 months come. And all of a sudden, that day was there. It was the day of annual conference, and here I am scheduled to preach. Now, this was the largest group of people I've ever preached in front of before, 2,000 people. You talk about nerves. And I began to pore over my notes like I had never pored over them before. And then came time for worship. Now, I will say that I thoroughly go through my notes for any time I'm speaking. I come here 6:15, 6:30. I see Greg sometimes, you know. He's out there getting everything ready here on the campus. And get here and I run through the notes. And even with a kayak, I prepare my message ahead of time. But I remember consciously going through my notes that day, crossing and dotting my homiletical T's and I's. I wanted to make sure I got it right. I mean, the bishop's sitting where Chad's at. And you got all the district superintendents in the front rows. And you only got all the entire conference clergy sitting there that do this on a regular basis. No pressure. None. For me, it was one of the most humbling but yet inspiring moments in my life. The presence of having a notable witness watch you can be one of the most motivating experiences of one's life. Golfers, think about this. You have three in your foursome. You're missing a player. And Jordan Spieth comes up to your foursome, your group of three, and says, "You mind if I join you?" Do you think you'd want to have your worst game that day? You'd be doing everything you could to be able to make sure that it's done right. Or what about King James? You know, you're out on the basketball court, you're playing a little game of basketball, and LeBron James walks up to the court and says, "Mind if I join you?" Well, I would probably do everything I could to play my best game. The presence of the pros, the presence of Hall of Famers cheering from on the sidelines, it can be elevating. But on a far more exalted level of truth that obtains, for the author of Hebrew paints an awesome picture here as we go into chapter 12 today. A picture of spiritual observers in an attempt to motivate and to instruct this failing little church to become great and to persevere through tough times. So picture it with me. The writer talks about a great Colosseum here. We see these great Colosseums. Anybody ever seen one in person? Okay, a few of you. They're probably amazing, aren't they? And here we are. The writer of Hebrews talks about a foot race, a distance event. And the author includes these contestants, with the writer being himself one of them, and members of their flock. And by mutual faith, we are the contestants as well. And the cloud of witnesses, they fill this Colosseum up. And they are the ones, the great spiritual athletes of the past, the Hall of Famers. And every single one of them a gold medal winner in the faith. Now, they're not live witnesses to this event, but they're witnesses to the fact that their past lives bear witness to that preserving faith. If we go back a chapter, in chapter 11, verse 4, we see that of Abel's faith. It still speaks, even though he is dead. The power of their witness from their life that was lived on this earth still speaks to this day. And we see those giants of the faith in chapter 11. Those who went before us, who paved the way of life and of discipleship for us. And so everywhere you look in this vast arena, all around you, there is a face that is nodding encouragement by saying, I did it and so can you. You can do this. You have my life for it. Moses probably stroking that beard and smiling. Maybe Rahab gives a wink and a little wave. In your heart, you're down there on the field. Your heart's pounding. You're afraid, but you're also excited. And with all your being, you just want to do well for God and for this great cloud of witnesses. So what do you do? Well, our text this morning so eloquently answers with a question, pushing us to move forward. And I'm going to invite Karis to come up and read our passage for us here this morning. This is a reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And then Karis is going to jump from verse 2 to verse 28 through 29.
Please follow.
It should be on. It should pop right on.
Okay. Please follow along with me, you know, on the screen, in your phones, or in your Bibles, as I read 1 and 2, and 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thanks, Karis. Care said, let us run. Not half-heartedly, but let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. You see, each one of us has a specific race that we are to run, a specific course that is mapped out for us. And the course for each runner, it's so unique. Some are relatively straight. Other courses, you got some turns. Other courses, seems like it's an all uphill battle. Some, they could be a flat hiking path. Some are long. Some are short. But the great news is, and the glory that's behind it, is that each of us can finish the race that is marked out for you and for me. We can run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Now, I might not be able to run your course, and you might find my course near impossible. But the good news is, we can finish the race, and you can finish it as well. We can choose to finish this race. And if we rely on Jesus Christ, who is our strength, who is our rock, who is our Redeemer, then we can accomplish that feat. And we can experience that same satisfaction that Paul felt as he wrote to a young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. Paul writes, I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Think about that. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Isn't that comforting? To know that that crown awaits us, that it can be ours. There's no doubt that we can finish this race that has been marked out for you and for me. And as we race, just as those who went before us, our central focus needs to be on Christ. Christ Jesus. Focusing on Christ as the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the one who finished this race before us and who we follow. Focus on Christ as the perfecter of faith. Focusing on the joy that enabled Christ to endure the agony of the cross, but yet defeated on the day of Easter, the day of resurrection. Focus on the joy and the fact that you are a part of it. That you're a part of that glory and that joy. You know, Christ Jesus and that great cloud of witnesses, they sit in the front row. They're cheering us on as you live out your life of faith. And so my question is for you today is, will God's presence in your life grow you to be the best follower of Jesus Christ that you can be? Thanks be to God for those who have shown us the way and who've modeled the faith. May their memory continue to cheer us on. Shall we pray? Loving God, we thank you for the race that it was marked for us. The courses are all different. Some are filled with an uphill battle. Some, oh Lord, have been a little bit smoother. Whatever the course that we found ourselves on, oh Lord, we continue to feel your presence among us as you cheer us on, as a great cloud of witnesses cheer us on, and as we join this great company that is before us. Oh Lord, as we come before you here this morning on this Communion Sunday, we remember the saints that have gone before us, but we also come in need of nourishment. So may this meal feed us in our bodies, through our minds, and in our spirits, that we will be strengthened to continue to persevere and to run the race with great strength and determination. For all this we pray in the precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen.